This episode today is brought to you by Grinding Coffee Co. Grinding Coffee, a Black LGBTQ-owned coffee business that donates a portion of every sale to charity. Coffee is imported from around the world, and they pride themselves on great customer service for a small team. Use promo code PITLANEPARLAY for 13% off your order.
Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Jokum. McBridge and Hickey are with me, hanging out. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And I'm just going to dive right into it here. This comes off of probably the worst Facebook and Twitter post I've ever seen in the history of Facebook and Twitter, where PLPGP user Ray Biggs said, "Mashed potatoes are garbage." So in the spirit of you know, one of the best side dishes, whether it's Thanksgiving or not ever, I want to know what your guys' favorite or least favorite, if you're in a bah humbug mood, Thanksgiving side dish is, or if you have like a Thanksgiving hot take.
Oh no.
Well, you know that I think gravy is trash. I don't understand the point of gravy.
Wait, all gravy? Like, you don't do biscuits and gravy, or you just don't do like turkey gravy?
I don't do biscuits and gravy either.
Get out.
Yep.
That
you're
can't
done.
Be worse
fired.
Than that can't you're be fired. Worse than mashed potatoes. That's horrendous take.
You are correct there, only because I could eat mashed potatoes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner year round.
Also, not a big stuffing guy.
Not a stuffing girl either.
You know, I can understand that one.
Now, if Shannon hadn't said that, would
Shannon,
you have
Shannon,
on
Shannon
me?
Can't keep it. No, I still think your opinion there is valid.
On the gravy?
No, on the stuffing.
What's yours?
Oh. Mine?
Yeah.
My like least favorite?
Just a hot take. Or you can say like, I love stuffing, at which point we could ridicule you, but
do not love stuffing.
She can't keep it together.
I can't do this today. I don't like turkey.
That's
pretty rough.
Well, I mean, my parents ruined turkey for me because they do deep fried turkey breast now, and now like conventional turkey has just been ruined for me.
But I don't like any form of the turkey for Thanksgiving.
So let's say some like a world renowned chef cooks a turkey for you. Are you going to try it?
Jake Neely.
No, not definitely not Jake Neely.
I mean, okay, I shouldn't say no, I won't try it because I'll try anything once.
Everything's an innuendo with you.
I can't help it.
How do you get through how do you get through a Thanksgiving meal without just, you know, I'm not even going to finish that sentence.
I don't.
Base the turkey. That's what she said.
I will try things, but I just don't like it. Like, it's not, I'm not going to put it on my plate. I won't even fake it.
So will you just put a,
what's your protein?
Will you just put a bunch of sides?
Veggies and potatoes?
Ham. We get ham.
Ham is much worse than turkey.
My Grams doesn't like turkey either. So
holiday
we always
ham.
Get a honey baked ham.
Ham is, ugh.
What's wrong with ham?
So you don't like ham and you don't like biscuits.
Okay, calm down. At least I like the national bird of choice on Thanksgiving.
Who made it the national bird of choice? Who decides that?
I'm just going to sit back right now.
I don't know. I just was born and it was there at the table the first time I showed up. So.
And that just makes it right.
Yeah.
Because it's what we've always done.
Yeah, that's also why. That's why I suffer through the Chicago Bears, too.
Yeah. Maybe your life choices need some work.
Oh, okay. Now we're getting on a slippery slope here.
So, Matt, is Matt Nagy going to be fired on after Thanksgiving?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows what the internet says, but I really hope so. There's zero hope for Bears fans right now, and it's horrible.
I do feel your pain a little bit, although the Eagles are looking like semi competent. I don't want to say great, but competent, which is a step up.
Yeah, it's every time I see a highlight, I don't see any Eagles passing, and yet it works for them.
I think I said when Mark Urban was on a couple weeks ago, like, I really hope they run the ball more. I didn't mean like 98% of the time, but I mean, anyway, this isn't a football podcast. This we'll spare everybody. My hot take is cranberry sauce is overrated. Not wildly overrated, but I could do, like, if my plate is full, I am not going to worry about cranberry sauce, like, making room for it. I could do it with or without it.
Homemade cranberry sauce or like out of the can?
So both. I would, if so, you know, my mom is a very good cook. She she makes it homemade, and she also has the can because my dad loves the can and doesn't like homemade. I'm kind of, don't ask, he's weird. Sorry, Dad. He's probably listening to this, like, you asshole.
1,000%.
Yeah.
Hi, yeah. Papa Joachim.
Yeah, you know, he critiques everything I say when he listens to this. So yeah. He's definitely going to critique this.
No. I don't know. I have, like, the most bare plate when it comes to Thanksgiving because it's pretty much just turkey, mashed potatoes, salad of some kind, and pie. I think anything over that is overrated.
I like sweet potatoes too.
We never really, green beans. We never really did sweet potatoes. Mm-hmm. Beets.
Green beans are pretty badass. Yeah, beans.
Oh, I thought you said beets. Oh, well.
Oh, no. Green beans.
My grams, she changes holidays. So sometimes it's Thanksgiving and sometimes it's Easter, but we'll make homemade dumplings.
I could dig that.
Yeah. With the mashed potatoes. Yeah.
Maybe we'll, when it's our Thanksgiving to run, we'll do more stuff like that because that sounds fun.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. So good.
Anyways.
I'm hungry again.
Racing podcast.
It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
No. And I'm not insinuating anything here, but I'm glad we don't talk about Halloween on this podcast anymore. Ganassi is going to be running 5 cars at the Indianapolis 500 this season. Jimmy Johnson was confirmed as one of those 5, which all but insinuates that he will be full-time next year. So, A, what are your guys' thoughts about that? B, a lineup of Pelot, Dixon, Erickson, Johnson, and Kanaan. Is that one that should be a heavy hitter come May?
I'm excited for it. I mean, Jimmy pretty much won his entire career on ovals, right? Like, that's pretty much what NASCAR did for his first whatever years he was in it.
22 years.
Yeah, I mean, when did they? I don't know anything about NASCAR. I don't know when they started doing road courses.
No idea.
But anyway, like for the majority of his career, I have to believe that, right? They were all on ovals.
98% at least.
So I find it hard to believe. Like, I know he's scared because it's not the same and it's faster and blah, blah, blah. But I find it hard to believe he won't be semi-successful in it. Maybe not the 500, but just ovals in general.
Yeah, I think Texas is a little bit earlier this year. Yeah, it's before the 500. So he'll have a oval.
Don't ask me to count the number of days before the race starts.
Why? Did you get that wrong?
Did. Totally. Get it wrong.
Oh,
yep.
Oh. It's yeah, fine. You got correct. We got corrected. Yeah.
As if it fucking matters anyways. Just be happy that the season's almost upon us. Like,
but
good
it
God.
Does, Matthew. It does.
Oh, I am so sorry. The internet
Excuse
never forgets.
Excuse me, ma'am. 100 was 4 days ago. The start of practice. Okay. Thank you, sir.
God yes. Damn. There's so much
You should
more
have seen
energy
my conversation
internet.
With Shannon earlier today when we were scheming on...
I didn't post it. I didn't choose violence.
Yeah, that's fair.
I can't remember the last time I chose violence on Twitter. It's been a long time.
It's been like a couple hours for me.
It's been a couple. We're almost.
It's not true. It's not been very violent recently.
We're approaching months for me.
Are you well? Do you feel okay?
I feel great. I do my violence on the punching bag downstairs now in boxing. That's where my violence goes.
Boxing is fun. I miss going to the boxing gym very much so.
I love it. Sorry, host. What was your opinion?
Doesn't matter. Yeah,
nobody cares.
Yes. What?
Move on to the next topic.
Just kidding. We're just kidding.
I'm just here to edit the show.
No, did you actually have one or are you good?
Yes. I think because he'll have Texas to warm up. Not that Texas is like the greatest example anymore because it's, you know, one lane, but it'll give him enough of a baseline that, you know, between that, the open tested Indy, which I'd imagine will be the end of April, like it always is. But I don't know if he's going to contend for a top 10 at Indy, but I think he, I guess my mid November hot take is he won't be on the bump bubble come bump day.
I was thinking about that. The Will Marotti interview I gave where he's like, yep, we're going with Chevy. I'm like, that's not good.
The other thing is, you know, Honda's kind of out of room.
Yeah.
You know, as Shannon and I were also talking about on Twitter in the last 24 hours. So he might not have a choice but to go with Chevy.
Yeah. Well, no, that's, I think you're 100% right. And I think it also depends on his team affiliation, but it's like, like heavy.
But also, I mean, Carpenter does really well at the 500 with the Chevy.
Yeah, they're like the outlier because, I mean, Penske doesn't. Yunkos, like, kind of doesn't.
Yunkos is hard to say.
Carlin doesn't.
But, like...
Carlin doesn't count. And probably isn't a team.
Am I supposed to know who their driver is going to be?
Or Marotti.
Marotti?
Yeah, Marotti. We don't know yet.
Well, that's another thing, because he said Carlos Munoz is one of the best Speedway, and then he said, but he lacks funding. I'm like, does your seat need funding? He's like, no. I'm like, well.
If we're putting two and two together. Yeah,
I kind of wanted to redirect. I kind of wanted to redirect and be like, yeah, maybe Carlos Munoz would be good for your seat. But, you know, he's obviously got a plan, and he was very, very nice to talk to. So, you know, I really appreciated him coming on, and, you know, I think we can wish them the
Thank
best.
You, Will.
Yeah. So what's next here? Devlin was confirmed for the Andretti Autosport seat. We did wait for the official press release and didn't confirm that with anybody first, but they did get that announced. So where do you guys think Devlin is going to fit in on the Rookie of the Year battle?
I think it all depends on what kind of engineering team they put around that car, because I know on the press conference they mentioned they did not yet have all the engineering pieces lined up for that car this year, whether people got let go or, and which is fine. It's you know, that was a couple weeks ago too.
So this isn't a Devlin answer. This is a Alexander Rossi did an interview with Jennifer. He said that they now like for his team, they now have engineers in place that are all on the same page. So I'm wondering if something has happened there that now they're having to replace some others. Like maybe they're pulling them from other places, but.
And just natural attrition, some can happen too. Where
and
things change.
Do we only have three rookies this year? Well, two and an unconfirmed.
Malukas.
Unconfirmed.
Yeah.
Let him make his own announcement.
What's his face?
Yeah.
Kyle Kirkwood.
That's the one.
Devlin.
Callum Ilott, technically. No, yeah, not technically, officially.
Yeah, he definitely is.
That's a good rookie class.
I think it's a super exciting rookie class because they're all not only IndyCar rookies, but they're all young, up-and-coming drivers. Whereas this year we had a NASCAR guy, a Supercars guy who is also young, and an F1 guy. So I'm pretty excited. Hopefully we get a few more confirmations before the holidays or before Christmas, I should say, since it is the holidays. But
I'd look for one after Thanksgiving for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, you know, we'll see. But I think if they, whoever they hire for the 29 car, whether it's pulled from another team or Indy Lights or outside IndyCar, I know that job thing that IndyCar posted did bring in a bunch of new engineering candidates, I think I read or heard. So I think Devlin is definitely capable of fighting for Rookie of the Year with everybody else.
Yeah, and I hope whatever happens with Devlin this year that the capstone car sticks around, because that is a green car. Everybody go follow Stream Evergreen on Twitter.
There
our podcast host. We appreciate their support. Speaking of rookies, we do have the potential for more part-time rookies that aren't confirmed yet. That's not named David Malukas. Stoffel Vandoorne and Nyck de Vries are set to test for McLaren at Sebring coming up in January or December.
December 6th.
December 6th. So thank you.
Definitely not January.
So out of those two, who do we want to see more in IndyCar?
I don't know that I have a preference.
I would say Nyck de Vries only because he is relatively young. He's won a Formula E championship, won Formula 2 championship. He's won at every level he's competed at. So I'd be super intrigued. But who is he testing for again?
McLaren.
Yeah, I'd be pretty intrigued by that. And I don't have anything against Vandoorne. I just, his time in F1 was marred by that GP2 Honda engine, as our buddy Fred would have said back then. But I think, you know, another young face in the series would do really well. And he seems a little bit more personable. Vandoorne seems a little quiet. And that, I could be very wrong on that one.
Yeah, my black and white brain says Van Dorn, even though I looked up on Wikipedia that there would be a 0.00% chance that IndyCar would go to Spa if Van Dorn came to IndyCar. But you know what? Correct. This is an irrational world full of irrational takes. And I would love to see an IndyCar at Spa one day, even though it's never going to happen. But having a Belgian in the series will not help, and therefore I want to see Stoffel here.
Okay.
Did you guys follow that? We're good? Okay. The reason there is this newfound speculation around the McLaren third part-time entry is because Nico Hülkenberg has decided to pass on IndyCar. And since I know you two really love Nico Hülkenberg, now's a great time for you guys to compliment him.
He's handsome.
We love Nico.
He's handsome.
He is handsome.
Isn't he like 6 foot like three or something? He's really tall for a driver.
Yeah. I am curious about why he's turning it down. He didn't really say. He just said that he's no longer interested. And I'm just really curious why.
Wasn't that like on a Monday morning too? It came out.
It was like a random time.
Yeah, I mean, week. You have to think, why would he turn that down? I don't think he strikes me as a Formula E type of guy. So I wonder if there is some factory program in endurance racing that's maybe shelling out some money for him to come race there.
The only other thing I could think is, and that could kind of go in line with what you were just saying, but I know he's got a young child. Maybe he doesn't want to be or like relocate his family or something along those lines. I'm just guessing, but it was the way he worded the release was kind of like weirdly vague, and I want to know more.
I'm going to go with he wasn't as fast as he thought he'd be, and he doesn't want to be overshadowed.
Oh,
that's a take.
Because I just like to choose violence.
that is a take that's probably provable, though, if someone had data from the test they'd like to share.
Yeah, who has data from the test they want to share?
I will text Proof Marshall. Right. I will text Proof Marshall right. right now. Just kidding. I don't have Marshall's phone number, but if I did, he would block me immediately. Where do we go next? Air Force has left Ed Carpenter Racing. Notice how I said they didn't leave Connor Daly. Where do they go now with like Ed Carpenter? Where do they go now? Is Daly now, you think, out of the running, or what do you got going on there?
Well, I asked Mike earlier if Air Force was with Carpenter or if they were with Connor, which made me think that maybe Connor was leaving Carpenter as well, but he told me no. So I don't know. Connor seems weirdly optimistic about this year, and I don't necessarily know that that means all IndyCar, but he seems to have something up his sleeve. I think Air Force is just out. I don't think they're gonna go anywhere. I don't think they're doing any kind of sponsorship with IndyCar anymore.
Apparently, and I don't remember where I read this, that they were shifting around a bunch of marketing money for next year, so maybe that could.
It's the government, man.
I heard that they were really crappy results on TV, and that's why they were mad about it. So they're pulling.
Did they do their due diligence before they signed the dotted line?
Probably not.
Especially since the ratings actually got better, but you know, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, this happens with a government thing every couple of years. You know, National Guard was in for a little bit, then disappeared. God, and yes, I miss those liveries so much.
Saga.
That was a nightmare. That was fun, but a nightmare.
Let me sue the government. Yeah, that's always going to work for you when you're getting mad because Ray Hall poached your sponsor. Good God.
Yeah, so I don't know. Connor does seem oddly optimistic, but he's also talking like, oh, I might do a full season NASCAR trucks, which, I mean, good for him if that's what he wants. It's just, I think that's where he'll end up this year. It seems like it could suit, and I don't like that answer, I know. I can see your face, Shannon. But I can see the look on your face, I should say. But yeah, I don't know. It's tough to say what they're going to do.
Leave Carpenter without any, well, without a sponsor for that car. Do they just go to one car? Do they just run Venus?
No, you go to Tony George and ask for more money.
Yeah.
That's probably what's
going to happen. Dad, do they
still
more money.
Own Clabber Girl? Do they still sold that before, or did they sell it all?
They sold that before IMS, I thought.
I wasn't sure. I thought that they did, but I didn't know if they still had a stake in it or if they just sold the whole dang thing.
I don't know what they're doing nowadays. They're probably looking at buying the Chicago Bears because why not make my life more miserable?
Oh, it's okay.
Anyways, crank out the. No, it's fine. I'm fine. It's what I got my pillow to cry into at night for. Started at the rumor mill that Carlin Haller was spotted at Yunkos this, like, I don't know, like 3 weeks, whenever we did the news last, which is like 6 weeks ago or something. So, yeah, then they're doing a thing then, right? Is that what we're going with?
That's what we heard.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I don't think it's a rumor mill. I think that they really did buy at least one set of equipment.
Yeah, all right. I'm almost positive.
Host, can you message Cody Bray that then so he'll leave you alone?
No, I really don't want to talk to Cody Bray right now.
Oh, sad. Also, Cody, I will give you a hug when I
like
see
Cody.
I was going to say, what did Cody do?
I think Cody did not. Cody did nothing.
No, Cody's fine. Yunkos has literally bought all of Carlin. Right? Did I get that right?
Good job, Ricardo. I'm excited to see what they can do with a full season and maybe hiring some additional people.
But I really thought that, didn't Max say he was coming back? So did they buy all of Carlin or just part of Carlin?
I thought Max was going to Penske.
Okay.
Well, he's like, I need to get to a team that's better than this shit show. And it's like, well, what are your options?
Because he wanted the Ray Hall third car.
That was never going to happen.
No.
He might have been like fifth choice. Like a Ed Jones to Ganassi situation.
Stay ahead of the pack with the latest racing news and interviews from the Hammerdown Racing Report, your source for regional racing action as well as the national scene. Every week, we recap racing action from all around Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan and cover national racing series from the world of outlaws to NASCAR. Plus, get all the latest racing news. Join hosts Scott Hammer and Ron Miller, along with different featured guests each week. From dirt to asphalt, we have you covered. The Hammerdown Racing Report, available weekly on your favorite podcasting platform.
Have you ever wanted to know how to win a Formula One Grand Prix? I mean, really know. Know about the driver tactics from the cockpit, the strategy calls from the pit wall, and even the mind games in the paddock. There's a lot more that goes into winning a Grand Prix than just 90 minutes of racing. So every week on the F1 Strategy Report, we're taking a deep dive into the decisions that shape every result. Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and every week I'm joined by an expert guest from the paddock to talk through the big calls that won the race and the missteps that resulted in bitter defeat. Before every race, we'll look back at the previous year's result and consult the current form guide, and we'll be in your feed after every Grand Prix dissecting the outcome and what it means for the championship. So for your regular hit of Formula One analysis, subscribe to the F1 Strategy Report wherever you get your favorite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast on the Evergreen Podcasts Network. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you after the checkered flag.
I am looking up Chilton right now to see what the... Yeah, there's nothing on.
You shouldn't be Googling
Chilton.
Max Chilton. You should be Googling Graham Chilton, see what he's up to. One more news and then two opinion questions. Today, Tuesday, the Detroit Grand Prix and the powers that be. I was not trying to rhyme that, but as I said that, that was horrible.
Oh, but you did so well.
That was not planned.
That's cute.
They have released the new specifications. Apparently, it's going to be the shortest road course on IndyCar schedule in some time. 1.7 miles is what I think I saw.
Yeah.
The part that I wanted, so I think going to downtown has a lot of potential benefits, but the number one benefit that I was super intrigued on was the fact that 50% of the track is accessible without a ticket. So if you're just like stumbling through downtown Detroit and wanted to check out this new sport without having to pay $70 to get behind the gate, kind of seems like a cool idea. What do you guys think of that?
Is there a maximum on that? Because what stops everybody from just going to the free section and not buying tickets?
I think the notion of if you pay for a ticket, you're guaranteed to have I'm not sure if it's general admission, but based on Nashville where it was like you had, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, you had like a seat, correct?
If your grandstand was built, you did.
Well, that's neither nor that. I think it's not like Road America where you just get a ticket and go anywhere. I think with that kind of street race, if you had a ticket, you'd be guaranteed a spot at this place looking at this corner.
But there were both options for Nashville. There was general admission where you could sit somewhere on viewing mounds, just like there are almost all the tracks, or you could have a reserved seat.
So I wonder if they're not.
I'm just saying, like, if you aren't that big of a race fan, or you don't know if you're that big of a race fan, offering that means you're absolutely not going to pay for a ticket. right? You're just going to go to the free thing and see. Whereas, like, if you don't offer that and you think you might be a race fan and the tickets are fairly reasonable, like, hey, we'll give that a go. But at this point, you can take your whole family and watch it for free somewhere. That seems silly.
Okay. I'm intrigued. I think it could be really good because, kind of like Shannon was saying, there might be people who aren't sure if they're fans or aren't fans but are in the city, and it could work out really well. You know, if I am a fan or I'm a casual fan, I'd probably want a ticket so I can, you know, get my spot and watch from whatever corner I want to watch from, or get my pit pass or whatever. Like, I'd imagine it would make sense and would be smart if they had signs like upgrade to get a ticket and do the driver autograph, or, you know, you can go through the pits or whatever, something like that to incentivize people to actually buy. Could it backfire like Shannon, I think, is alluding to? Sure, but I'm feeling kind of positive about this one.
Yeah, and I wonder, I'm not smart enough to know, like, for a race venue, what the breakdown of revenue is and how important it is. So you got TV ad money, title sponsor, concessions, ticket sales. I wonder if that's where it stops. So I wonder, like, where in the line of things ticket sales ranks on, like, the importance of revenue for a circuit.
It's not unimportant.
It's not unimportant, but is it, like, because you, like, think about, like, Texas.
It probably just depends on how everything is written up.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it won't be that important if they're offering free, right? Maybe they've cut a killer TV deal or something with it, and it won't matter. I don't know.
The other thing I'm thinking now that we're talking about this is, so you have the free section, and then obviously you have the other 50% that are paid. Maybe the 50% that are paid versus, you know, a Belle Isle ticket, maybe it's more expensive to make up for potential loss. Like, hey, get a... Yes, ma'am?
But that feels shitty.
I'm not saying, like, it's not.
Like, I'm going to offer free, but if you're willing to buy a ticket, I'm going to jack up the price.
Like, I'm not saying it was a good idea. I'm just saying, like,
I'm just saying that's really terrible business if that's what they did.
Well, I think one of the main goals here, too, for Roger is because when he brought IndyCar back to Detroit through his corporation or whatever, I was just like, why are you going to Detroit? Why are you obsessed with Detroit? Especially at that point where everybody had kind of given up on Detroit. So I think one of his ultimate goals is just for the betterment of Detroit. And they said that the economic impact for moving the race downtown is going to be much better for the city than it would be if it was at Belle Isle. So I think there's also that angle too to consider, that Roger at the end of the day is just has this love affair for Detroit that some of us may not understand, but I guess it doesn't matter because it's his money. He's the one who's putting it on. So I think having that economic impact for Detroit as a whole is also going to be something they're angling for too.
Can we just stop and appreciate the fact that Roger Penske is willing to try something maybe slightly out of the box here and see if it can help IndyCar in a way?
Yeah, but he seems like a turkey on Thanksgiving every year kind of guy.
He also eats his pizza with a fork.
Oh, I hate that.
Terrible, terrible.
Hey!
Wait, do you eat your pizza with a fork?
Yes.
Oh, Shan, I've never been more disappointed.
That's fine.
What'd you say to me earlier? Rethink your life choices? Throw that one back at you.
I don't like my fingers to be...
How are you holding a pizza where
That's
your fingers
what she
are...
Said.
Oh.
I tried to stop.
That's what she said.
All right.
We've gone completely off the rails tonight, folks. I actually have one thing, maybe opinion-based thing, Matt. Was one of your things about Kirkwood?
Negative.
Okay. So, and this was an article, it was 2 weeks ago. I think it was right around the time when Kirkwood got confirmed. So obviously he's with Foyt for the year, as we've talked about already. Do you think somebody as talented as Kirkwood could actually bring in talented engineers that want to work with somebody like that and benefit Foyt that way? Because I think that's what David Malsher Lopez is alluding to in his article when he talked to Larry Foyt. But I'm curious if you guys think that's off base or an interesting concept.
I mean, I think anything's possible. I don't.
She's not that confident in it.
I'm not that confident in it. You want to know why?
I do.
No, Icky, go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say, and then maybe if it's still relevant, I'll come back to it.
It can't hurt, right? Like, it can't hurt to go, like, if your options are going to the second Yunkos car with Dalton Kellett or going to the primary Foyt car with Kirkwood, I kind of feel like Kirkwood's, like, the first round quarterback taken in the draft in football, and you're a free agent, like, ooh, I could go to Cleveland and play for Baker Mayfield and suck the entire year, or I could go to Jacksonville and play with Trevor Lawrence, or Chicago and play with Justin Fields, although you'd have to play for a clown in Chicago and Jacksonville. but I kind of,
those were the only two teams you could come up with. Like, you didn't want to say
they drafted,
like,
quarterbacks this
the
year.
Eagles.
That's why I stuck with that, because they drafted quarterbacks. I could have said Jets too, I guess. Not going to say
the Colts also drafted quarterback.
Ellinger,
go ahead.
Ellinger still plays. Yeah, I think that's obviously an incentive. Is if you can go, you know, work for a famous team and a talented driver who's young, up and coming, and you can kind of mold his career, a huge incentive. And he could follow you to a different team, a la Grosjean and Boisson.
Boisson.
How many times have I corrected you on a name that you butchered?
Probably a lot.
Never. I will remember this.
I don't believe that.
I will remember this.
Okay. Go ahead.
And this is going to be the most unpopular opinion ever. I'm not fully sold on Kirkwood.
Oh. You heard it here first, folks. Do you have a reason?
Not entirely. Gut
feeling?
I don't really feel like he is a go-getter.
Okay.
And I think you're going to have to be a go-getter when you sign on for Foyt. Like, you're going to have some input and whatnot. And this could be completely off base. I could be completely wrong, and I will take that L, and that's fine. And maybe I want it to be an L because I want him to be successful. But I feel like an Andretti lights car is a top-tier lights car, and you probably don't have to have a ton of input because you have really good engineers behind you. I don't know that that's the case at Foyt, and I feel like he's gonna have to work harder than he's used to, and I don't know if that's his gig.
I guess time will tell, but we appreciate your input.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope he's great, and I hope he takes Foyt to new levels. I don't know. There's something about him that I'm just like, meh.
That was the polite Mike Jokum way of saying that you're wrong. Thank you for your input.
That's
a direct, like, middle finger to everybody.
Listen, I've had like four guys tell me I'm wrong just in the last 24 hours. So
good job,
go
host.
Ahead.
I don't think it was me. I don't think
it
one of them
you.
Was me.
It wasn't you. It's all of Twitter.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Hmm. Yes, Twitter.
I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong.
The beacon of knowledge that is known as Twitter. All right, well, two more opinions, and then we can wrap up with anything you guys got. So, number one, and I think we haven't talked about this. I think Shannon might have talked about this on Twitter. The Drive to Survive series that's being floated around for IndyCar. I can't remember who, but someone, it might have been Chip Ganassi, says that IndyCar is not dramatic enough for a Drive to Survive.
Oh, that was me. It wasn't Ganassi. It was Paul Tracy.
Oh, was it?
And it wasn't Paul Tracy who said it. Somebody wrote an article about it and said it, and they were targeting Rossi specifically and saying that he was too boring for Drive to Survive. And then it kind of like went into that, and I don't, we still never really figured out who wrote the article. We found the article, but it was behind a paywall. And
pretty
so
sure
was
I,
no,
pretty sure I know.
We love paywalls.
If you
want
to know, just ask me off air. And that
I
goes
mean,
to anybody.
This is
listening.
Like 3 weeks ago. Why didn't you tell me?
Yeah, Mike, why didn't
so
you tell
sorry.
Me?
So sorry.
Anyway, Eliza, I told you Eliza and I were looking for it.
Yeah.
Well, okay. What do you guys agree with that opinion? Do you think a Drive to Survive series for IndyCar would not work?
I think it would be a different kind of series. It's not going to be the political backstabbing that's happening in F1. It'll probably be more of like a feel-good family show that like everybody can watch and everybody can get behind. And there's probably not going to be too many villains, which means everyone's going to be likable and everybody is easy to root for. So
it probably feature more on-track stuff because they try to play up the, hey, we have great on-track action. Look at the number of passes we had this, you know, this past weekend or something along those lines.
I mean, bottom line is that IndyCar drivers, Lewis Hamilton excluded, are far more competitive.
You mean F1 drivers?
No.
But
IndyCar drivers themselves are far more competitive than F1 because F1 is a lot of the car. These drivers, you can put in a lot of cars and it will be competitive. Almost anybody can win.
So you're saying the racing is more competitive?
Right.
Got it.
I'm saying you can't take, I mean, you can maybe take five out of their, what, 22 races that were like really good competitive F1 races where you know it wasn't going to be the first two people who start who are also going to be on the podium versus an IndyCar race where you don't know who's going to win.
Yeah.
And that's where the drama comes from versus the political backstabbing, he touched my wing, you touched, you know, somebody handed Lewis Hamilton a hair tie that's full of drugs, bullshit. Like, it's stupid. Like, it's so stupid.
Hair that's tie full of drugs. I think that should be the episode title.
Have you not seen that?
I have. Wait, I just forgot about
Fill
it.
Me in.
Is it Joss Verstappen? Is that his name?
I thought it was Helmut Marko, but anyway, it doesn't matter. It's one crackpot.
The one that I saw was Verstappen, and he said Hamilton's trainer handed him something. They should really look into drug testing him, and it was a hair tie. Like, stop it.
That's a boomer move right
there. Annoying. It's so annoying. Like,
it's very petty.
What? Although, so, I'm here for a Toto Wolff Christian Horner girl fight, so whatever.
Slap fight?
If they did do a Drive to Survive series, one of the episodes would have to be called Air Ixen and do a Nashville. And then the other, they'd have to do like a half an hour segment on Santino Ferrucci.
Why?
Because you talk about a villain.
If you need a villain.
Oh.
Like, hey, here's all the likable drivers we just threw out in front of you on this show. Now meet Santino Ferrucci, who half / two-thirds of people hate.
You know, that his whole comment thing there was really stupid. Like, I don't know what he had to gain by going after Connor.
They fight all the time.
I want to pull that up while...
Did Connor call him a clown? Is that what happened this time?
Connor called him a clown. And Connor really did very well in that Instagram argument.
Hang on, I want to find that. But the last thing I had before we get to that, I should have wrote this down. My memory fades me. I think it was Stefan Wilson. Said something along the lines that IndyCar should bring back standing starts, a la 2014. I think that was the only year that they came back for a little bit. What do you guys fall on?
Didn't McLaughlin talk about it?
Maybe it was, sorry. It was McLaughlin.
It was Scott. He said, I'd really want to start. Good job, Mike. I would really like to bring back, or I'd really like to do standing starts again or something like that.
Yeah, I'm so used to like Stefan Wilson having like good opinions on Twitter. I just associated with him.
Stefan Wilson is a king.
I don't know. At some tracks, it would be very hard. Like this Detroit 1.7 miler would be really hard, especially if we have fields like we're expecting in the 25 to 28 range on a weekly basis. Might be pretty hard. Road America is a bigger track. I'm sure it could handle it. Mid Ohio might be tough, but I'm not against it depending on the track, but that would have to be something with the new engine, I think, in 2023.
I mean, whatever. I don't really want to do it. I don't want to be like F1. I know that it might bring some sort of something. I can take it or leave it.
My fear would be not necessarily a Sebastian Vettel at IMS level incident.
Dear
but
God.
We don't necessarily need to manufacture turn one drama in IndyCar. So are we adding an unnecessary risk? And I'm not against standing starts by any means. I'm kind of intrigued, depending on the track. But it does bring in a lot of troublesome situations, and IndyCar is trying to save money, and that might not necessarily be a cost-saving thing in the end.
Yeah, there's a couple tracks I think it could really be beneficial on. The main one's always been Long Beach. But even like the Grand Prix, Road America, I think would be nice. But it's not like IndyCar is so desperate for something that they need to do it, because it's just the first corner of the first lap. It's not like it's makes the whole entire race amazing. So I wouldn't mind having some sort of integration, but I don't think it needs to be like every single track. I did throw it on Twitter. I think standing starts at Gateway would be wild. It's like the only it's like the only oval you could do that, because Iowa and Texas would be, well, maybe not Texas. Well, too banked. Gateway, since it's the front stretch is flat and they have a nice run to turn one, I don't think I've ever seen a standing start in an oval for.
No, that I could be here for. Let's do that.
All right,
let's do that. Somebody else isn't doing. Let's do that.
Four, what do we mean? Like,
you heard it here first.
3 years into my podcast career, I finally had a good idea.
I love it.
All right,
long enough.
Thanks. I do.
Greatness takes time, Hickey.
I do have the thank you. If it's getting to host level, I got 50 years, so it's good.
He just called you great. I don't know why you're rolling
around. Yeah, you took you 70. What am I? You took you 78 years to get great.
Better late than never.
Yeah. All right. I do have the conversation now in front of me. A person named Daz_Jack. Said on Instagram, yeah. I don't see anyone in F1 fighting either. Personalities, tags, Pato O'Ward, Connor Daly, Will Power, Elio Castroneves. Four drivers that are interesting to tag, I will say. Out of nowhere, Santino Ferrucci comments to Daz, true, period. It's boring, period. But CD is a wuss and only there because you know who. Can't wait to be back next year.
Yeah, who is who?
I don't know.
Who is who? I know we don't know. I'm just...
I hope he's not saying Derek. But
that's what I think he's implying. He's implying his daddy's money.
Which isn't true. That's not true, I don't think.
No, it's not true.
Unless we're missing something.
Because if it was true, wouldn't he be racing full time and not have any of these problems? I mean, if your daddy's got money and he's willing to pay for it, then he's not going to be like, I'll give you this much and you can struggle and really have to find your own ride. Like, that's just not how this works.
Careful,
you get an allowance.
Careful, Shannon. Daz is going to tell you that you're wrong on the internet.
Oh, God, another man trying to tell me I'm wrong on Twitter? No.
Then replies to Ferrucci.
Can we make that the episode preview?
Oh, no.
Yes.
Daz then replies to Ferrucci, I was going to tag you too, bro. CD is a funny guy, I think. Let's get both of you racing full-time, then Netflix can be entertaining. Connor then comes in 11 hours after Ferrucci comments and says, quote, I'm wildly curious as to who that might be, as in the who. Fill us in, oh wise wizard of the sport.
Oh. Oh no.
Well, that seems like a good place to end.
Yep.
I love it. All right.
Well done.
That was
ladies
fun.
And gents, happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy
happy
your
Thanksgiving.
Day.
Thanksgiving.
Yay.
And share your food hot take Thanksgiving hot takes on Twitter while you're ignoring your family members or suffering through the Bears and Lions game or whatever. Which is probably literally the worst NFL game ever.
Oh, God.
But everybody have a lovely weekend of racing.
Bye.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.